dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox. I will get to the introductions of the other young men joining me here momentarily, but first I want to tell you that this and all episodes are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right behind the Hampton Inn. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Give them a call, 740-773-7500. And for all kinds of detailed information about what they might be having going on, you can look them up on www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com for all kinds of detailed information. And I want to introduce the two young men who are the brains behind the outfits here. And first we'll go to someplace in Illinois, far, far away, where one Mr. Derek Webb joins us. How are you, Derek?
Good, good. How about you, Bruce?
I am very well. Thank you for joining us once again as we bring the year almost to a close. We're not too far away. And the other gentleman, the soothsayer of SVC Sports, as he has been now for these 7 years, plus a couple before the podcast for SVC Sports Zone, Mr. Shane Combs. And how are you, Shane?
Doing great, Bruce. A busy time of year, but always look forward to taking an hour away to talk a little SBC sports each week. And I love the feedback we always get, and it's just kind of fun to have that discussion with the fans back and forth and to cover our kids.
Well, speaking of fan feedback, I know last week we talked a little bit on the draw, the thoughts on the draw, and so on and so forth, how it might be. But potentially delayed, I think, or, you know, kind of pushed back so you had a little bit more of the season to kind of think on. And you mentioned earlier that we had some fan feedback on those thoughts. What was that?
I thought what was most interesting about the fan feedback were just some of the ideas that had come along. You know, they talked about how some schools and some conferences that are located just a half hour, 40 minutes away. It was amazing how some of us have been playing 20, 21, 22 games where others have only played 10, 11 games. Mm-hmm. And that makes voting really, really hard. You try to be really fair, and it's very difficult to find a formula that works for that, quite honestly, because, you know, you can be an 8-1, 8-2 team and be a pretty good baseball team or softball team. But at the same time, if someone has ended up getting 20 with 21 games in, they've won, you know, 13, 14 of those, you try your best to balance that out. So some of the best ideas I've heard probably have to do with just trying to assign some sort of point system or standings. You already know who's in your sectional to start the year. Mm-hmm. Just kind of having a system where I'd even had one fan feedback that went as detailed as saying, you know, you might not be able to control your conference games, so maybe make those just fair across the board for everybody, a certain point total, but then maybe encourage people to play in their division or up a division. Mm-hmm. by giving more points for some wins in divisions. I've thrown that out to some people, and other people didn't like that because they said, well, you know, there's sometimes you play a Division III team or a Division IV team, it might be better than just a random Division II team you find. But, you know, you're going to get that every year. You know, the way I look at a lot of that stuff is in Southeast Ohio, a lot of our sports teams, we play the same teams we've played for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, you go back and you look at a lot of the old records and stuff, and, you know, I know at Paint Valley or Huntington or Southeastern, you know, we've played pretty much the same types of non-league teams for forever. Mm-hmm. So I would certainly be in favor of some sort of system like that. I think that the voting is getting more and more difficult. overall this year, I didn't think it was that bad, but it is a tricky scenario that there's still a lot of little things that behind the scenes that are really tough to explain that can really tweak a bracket one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of draws and so on and so forth, we now know the results of those draws, so I'll kind of let you guys kick those around. First, let's talk softball, the softball draws, and how they kind of fit with what you were thinking. Derek, you want to kind of pick up on that first? If I know through modern technology, you probably have seen those.
I have. I mean, you know, I guess, Shane, with Division II, you know, Unioto's kind of been, and we all know this, kind of up and down this year, where they've you know, I mean, you go into kind of they split with Huntington, lost a split with Adena. So I think the five seed there in the D2 bracket is probably rightfully earned. Then you go to D3 and kind of, I mean, hello with Westfall. I think, Shane, you'd agree. I mean, hey, we've watched them play. They're probably our area's best team. I think they're deserving of that one seed. And then, you know, you kind of get into the Huntington at the two, you get into a Piketon at a six. That was the one I wanted to talk about. I get the Westfall and I get the Huntington, but you know, I thought Piketon was better. I thought they played better all year than a six seed. You know, I think they could go right head to head with the Chesapeake team, who I got to see earlier in the year before I did leave. You know, so I mean, Shane, maybe you can kind of bounce that off you, but to me, it looks like the seeds are pretty well earned. Other than that Piketon seed, I think they kind of got the shaft a little bit.
Yeah, probably a little bit. I think that's one thing I was going to mention, Bruce, was a lot of times what happened, you know, late on a Thursday or Friday or even into Saturday, could have tweaked some people's records a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And it's because we vote, you know, sometimes you don't know if someone put their vote in Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon because they were afraid wherever they were at Friday, they might not get to a computer or if they're on the road or, you know, then a lot of people played, you know, they might've gotten a big win Friday night and two wins Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden that's three mm-hmm. wins. You know, you might've been 8-8 and all of a sudden you're 11-8. Right. Well, if we were drawing the old way, you go ahead and put 11 wins up on the board instead of eight. That could have meant, I know in the baseball side, that could have meant like five spots. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Derek is spot on there. I'm really intrigued by the fact that, you know, Westfall gets the top seed. They stay away from Wheelersburg. Mm-hmm. I like Huntington. I think Zane Trace could even win a game there early, and I like Huntington to get out there most likely. And obviously Wheelersburg's really, really good, but you know, Huntington with an elite pitcher, you always have a chance. And then you know, even though I agree with you on the number, Piketon, Adena has really, really been solid there too. But the SVC team that advances out there, Derek, I think can probably be very, very competitive throughout that bracket.
Sure.
You know, Alexander does have a nice program they have over the years. But I see no reason the SVC can't be competitive in that bracket as well. So, I look for, even though, which I'll talk about in an answer later on, some people might think the softball league's just a little bit down this year compared to the amazing level they've played at for many, many years now. I think in the tournament, you might find that some of the tradition and some of our top teams will still be very, very competitive into the district, maybe even regional level.
Well, Shane, and I would add to that as well. If you look at the Division II bracket where Unioto is, especially that top half, that's such a tough sectional. I mean, whoever gets out of that sectional, they're winning. They've already won the war. I mean, you've got a Sheridan, you've got the Unioto, then you have a Gallia Academy team who's 12. It's seeded at 12-2, is a four seed. Warren's a great program. Fairfield Union's a storied program. They're a three seed. So Unioto's got its work cut out for it. But to me, I think that's one of the toughest sectionals in the state.
Yeah, it's certainly on paper looks to be that way. Yes.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned. I guess the first tournament games come up on 5-5. That will be what, next Saturday? Is that correct?
Yes. The most of the Division II starts the some of the early rounds on that day. Most of the other tournaments will go early into the week, and then most of the finals will go on that following Saturday. What would that be, the 12th?
14th. Let's see. I'm looking at the Division II, and they're the 5-9 and then 5-14 after that.
So. Okay, maybe on the Division III side when we get over to baseball, maybe that's what I was looking at.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned and stay plugged in and report back next week on how things are going. So let's go into our new spring segment, which is entitled What Makes Spring So Unique. That's brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call at 740-986-4653. They're located up at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport. And, of course, as we always say, tell them the boys from SBC Sports Talk sent you. Well, we've talked about this quite a bit in this spring, in this segment that we've kind of brought about this spring, just because we realized, as we've done this for 6-7 years, that spring is so unique. And how much more difficult do you guys feel it is to build a spring sport compared to a fall or winter sport? And by that, I mean particularly football, volleyball, and basketball. And what makes it difficult or different?
Well, I think from my perspective, I think bridging your little league into your high school program is probably the trickiest scenario. We do not have a situation where our league or our schools honor junior high baseball. Our league doesn't even honor JV baseball. So it makes it very, very difficult. There's no real requirement to put pressure on administration to get JV games in. And I know, to credit to our varsity coaches around the league, this year we have all 8 teams have a JV team, and we've really worked hard to get those games in. And I think most teams are on pace to play 13 or 14 of those league games. So that's really encouraging. But I think the probably the number one thing that comes into my mind is it makes it really difficult to bridge kids out of the sixth grade. And when they come to that seventh grade, keeping them invested in your school program, and because a lot of times, you know, your junior high baseball, you're trying to get practices in, you're trying to find facilities, you're playing on some Sundays. Well, if you have a couple rain outs in a row, you know, a lot of times they don't get as many games in as you'd like. And then I think they also, you know, as you get into the summer baseball is a little bit more of a chore now at that age, because now your basketball coaches and your football coaches or your volleyball coaches, if it's on the softball side, you know, they're obviously going to want some of that June and July as well, which they should. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the trickiest thing. I know when I was a basketball coach, or when I've continued to be a basketball coach, It's a little bit easier to still manage and to still utilize not just your little league program, but your junior high program, and then obviously your freshman or your JV program, because the JV is with you there every single night playing before you. I had a chance to see my JV team play a doubleheader on Saturday, and it was only, I believe, the third and fourth time live I've got to see them play a game this mm-hmm, year, mm-hmm. just because of the obvious scheduling that, you know, comes about in baseball. So if you compare that on the basketball side, I see them play every game.
Right.
So that's probably some of the challenges that that jump out there. But I think other than some of those, I think as long as you have great communication and you have some great coaching throughout your program, and people with the same vision, and you communicate, I don't know that it's much harder, because okay. And the reason I say that is it's just because it's going on everywhere. Yeah. It's not like you're the only one mm-hmm. doing it. You know what I mean? It's kind of that way across the board. Obviously, some schools, a softball or a baseball or a track or whatever, might be considered a little bit more popular or tradition built or whatever. But those are probably some of the challenges, but I don't know that it makes it any more difficult than another sport.
Okay. All right. Anything you have a thought there, Derek, or anything you want to leave his answer alone?
You know, I think I'd kind of just piggyback off of his answer.
Okay.
And, you know, Shane, you mentioned the weather, and I guess me being in a different place, I can kind of see how the weather here affects it differently than it does in Ohio. And Mother Nature hates us all. So I think especially this year for some reason, but I mean, we talk about the weather every year, and it's kind of like beating a dead horse. I understand that. But you have to start thinking, and Ohio just did this. They extended the regular season by a week, correct? Or is it a week or 2 weeks?
Week, I believe.
A week. So, which is huge when you really think about it. You know, Illinois hasn't done that yet, and we've got teams over here that are 5-3. And you know, postseason play starts in 2 weeks. They played 8 games. A lot more flat out here, so the water sits, and you can't work on the field a lot. I would just say that to me, I think the element that we can't control, that may be the toughest thing or the toughest element that we have to conquer, if you would, just get games in and play. That's how you develop a team, right? The reps, practice makes perfect. If you can't get out on the field and you're throwing in a gym, you know, you're going to get better, sure, but you're not going to have that competition sense. So I think the weather for me would be the biggest factor.
That is a great point, Bruce, because like I think I've shared this many times on SVC Sports Talk before. You know, things I learned from Ron Allen and Ed Yates and Tony Taylor and those guys is get out and play your, 27 games. I remember Trevor Thomas and I talking when I was a young coach, hey, get out there and play 27 games. Try to get your JV as many games as well. But Derek's right. I mean, yeah, and in fairness to administration there, It all goes back to money. you're gonna get the football games in. You're gonna get the basketball games in because there's a gate. I mean, that's what drives the entire financial bus. So I get that. Plus, there's only so many days on the calendar. So again, the week that we are going to get certainly isn't going to hurt anything. But that definitely is another part of the answer. I think that's well said there, Derek.
All right, good stuff. I think Mother Nature might actually be in our corner this week if I look at the weather correctly. So we'll see how many more we can get in here. Well, let's head to our look at the questions from the fans. This is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Print and Embroidery, located at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. You can probably get all kinds of ideas about what they are able to do for you by going on to Facebook, looking them up. They each have a separate page. And I was looking at their Facebook page today and see that Mile Tree does actually signs as well for screen printing of signs and so forth for political. I guess it is the political season right now in Ohio, and they're doing that. So give them a call at 740-774-3306. That number again, so I don't botch it all, is 740-774-3306. And as I said, look them up on Facebook. Well, a couple big topics here that were brought about in the fan input and questioning and so forth. And the first one was youth. And the question was put to us, do we play young kids too quickly? And if so, why? I don't know which one of you want to tackle this first, so I'll just throw it out there.
Well, I'll jump in just from a coach's standpoint. I mean, a lot of times it's twofold. You know what I mean? At first, when you're evaluating kids, a lot of times you don't pay attention to grade. You know what I mean? You try to look at, who are the best players, who has the most skill set. Now, obviously, you do pay attention to what grade they're in terms of the development sometimes, the way I might handle a pitcher, the way I might handle using a DH or using someone who's going to be DH4. I know in basketball, sometimes I think we're guilty of throwing kids into a position because, there is so much pressure to win now. That maybe we do stunt that particular player's growth in terms of ball handling or learning how to create his or her own shot. So I think different sports, it's different. And then I think there's certain positions it's easier to bring kids up in. It's probably easier to bring a kid up in the outfielder as an outfielder than it is to bring him in as a freshman catcher. Mm-hmm. Or a freshman pitcher. Same way, it's probably easier to bring a freshman post player up than it is a freshman point guard. Just because of some of the responsibility and some of the different things they're involved in. I think the other thing I would look at is what type of role are they being asked to take on and who's around them? Is there a lot of situations where pressure is going to be off of them, or are they kind of getting thrown into the fire where because of where your program's at or whatnot, they're being asked to take on a big responsibility? So I think a lot of those different things can play. So to answer the question, you know, I'm certain that we do sometimes, but I think sometimes, you know, if a kid's ready, he or she's ready, you know what I mean? And we have a lot of really, really good young kids in our league. You know, when you start looking up and down, some of our stats, Derek, when you start looking, you know, the boards there at Uniota have been big, big keys to championship possible team, the freshman, the Wheeler kid from Edina. I know they're Paint Valley. We've used Blanton as a freshman. He's won three times on the mound. He's up. He kind of qualified to be in the league leaders now with the bat, and he's up hitting over 400 now that he's been starting for a couple weeks. And, you know, so, you know, you go down there. I know you really like the Williams kid at Westfall. What's not to like there? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's and even some of the kids that are sophomores and juniors, Bruce, because they contributed from day one, they almost feel like seniors. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. some of these kids you coach against, you're like, oh, my goodness, he's still around two more years, or, you know. And I know we have some of those there at Paint Valley as well. So I know the two arms that Huntington has. You know, Huntington's a really, really good baseball team over the last couple of years. You know, what Coach Smith has done, and then now obviously Coach Yates, the experience and the winning he brings to that program, and he has two young arms with Free and Roop. So it's there's some nice young talent around the league, and it's certainly going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I don't know if there's anything wrong with playing young kids. You know, we're all D2, D3, sometimes D4 schools that, you know, you're just probably going to naturally have some young kids that to go in. Obviously, a lot of your better teams are going to have a little bit more age across the lineup more times than not, but not always. So a lot of times you get a lot of those freshman sophomores playing big roles on championship teams.
Well, you kind of touched upon it, but the second part of the question was, what are the challenges of playing young kids? And you talked about how to evaluate them a little bit, but let's say once you've decided to play them, are they different than more senior-type players, and what are those challenges that they exhibit?
Derek, do you think there's a big difference in what I'm saying about who they're playing with? You know, like, what I mean by that is, you know, you heard me mention the boards. I mean, they are really, really talented kids, you know, but they're also put in positions where I'm sure they're put into some comfortable situations because there are so many seniors that are battle tested and going through that at Uniota there, where I think other kids sometimes get thrown into the fire where if they're the number one, number two, you know, they're pitching against the Uniotas, the Adinas, the Zane Traces, the Westfalls every night out. Or maybe in softball, you know, I'm thinking of a younger Leah McFadden coming in and being asked to catch like a Michaela Newland when she had come mm-hmm. in. Well, now she's more of a veteran catcher and one of the best in the league. You know, it's things like that. I mean, don't you think a lot of times it's not just the kid, it's also what he or she's being asked to do and who's around them and what responsibility level they're taking on the team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you want to make a comparison, you know, even to like the big leagues, whether it be, you know, professional softball, professional baseball, I think any time you have a veteran leader in the clubhouse, they always talk about veteran leaders in the clubhouse. I think any time you have one of those, it's beneficial, not just because they know what they're doing, but they can help those younger players develop, maybe come up to the speed of the game, give them tips, give them tricks. You know, so I think it's kind of the same kind of type of mindset at every level. And that doesn't have to be pro. I mean, at the high school level, you talked about the DeBoard twins. I mean, if you think for 1 minute that Harley Patterson isn't giving those guys tips and tricks and kind of taking them under his wing and, you know, just teaching them the way to go through the season and the right way since he's been through four now. I mean, yeah, I mean, I absolutely think that helps just to have that presence around and just to have the wisdom of you know, an older player like Patterson. You know, you want to pick their brain and you want to say, you know, okay, well, you went through the grind. I mean, because we've talked about this before, but spring sports is a grind. I mean, it's an everyday thing. So I know when I was a freshman and sophomore coming up on my varsity team, we had a senior pitcher named Aaron Dixon, and I would just pick his brain like, man, how do we pitch somebody on an off day? I mean, am I going to have to pitch on an off day? Do I have to care as much? I mean, yes, that's a dumb question. But I was a dumb freshman. I could bounce that off, you know, the juniors and seniors who have been in that position before. Shane, I had a question I wanted to ask you. This we talked about earlier, you know, with baseball and football and basketball. Do you think that it's easier for young kids to play baseball or to kind of pick up that sport, baseball and softball, both? Maybe easier than it would be a football or a basketball. There's a lot less contact. It's a lot easier sport to play. I mean, if you have a talented kid on the baseball team, he doesn't have to be 6'1", 250 pounds and you know, built like a truck. I mean, he's just going to be the talented baseball player he is. He's going to step up, and I think he can pick up the game faster, especially the speed of the game, more than a basketball or a football. I mean, is that fair to say?
I think in several aspects it's fair to say. You know, catching the fly ball, making some of the throws, if you're a pitcher, throwing strikes. Obviously, the hitters are better. Now, probably the biggest thing is, depending on the level of baseball you've played, just getting in the box and seeing what a 77 to 82 mile per hour fastball looks like every single night in the SVC. That's probably something that takes some time to adjust. But yes, I understand where you're coming from, and I think so. I will say, Bruce, the speed of the game is something I see even overwhelm some kids. Some infielders may be shocked how fast some of the top 3-4 runners and other lineups get down the line. Mm-hmm. Or just seeing how the pace of a game and the intensity of the game goes. I received a couple of emails that were talking about this, and then I was having a talk with Tony Taylor the other night, and we were talking about how, as you get into this part of the year, you know, having the older guys does help from a standpoint of they've just been through it and they understand. I think Derek was talking about this. They just understand how to handle themselves physically and mentally. They understand, you know, how to prepare their body or how they're going to react to certain things. Or, if you get in one of those situations where you're playing 4 or 5 straight nights, and yeah, I think with younger kids sometimes they just go through the inconsistencies, and there's really no formula to get that. They're obviously talented or they wouldn't be up. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see the examples of the big time performance, but then you're also going to see the other extreme of where they're just overwhelmed, or maybe they're tired, or maybe they're mentally just not locked in that particular night. And I think as they get older, what you hope is those lapses become fewer and fewer, and the consistency starts to play. You'll still get the high level performance, but now all of a sudden, their CC minus game's not that bad. You know what I'm saying? On the nights they struggle, they understand a little bit of the other parts. So I don't think there's any amazing formula that helps them focus every single night. I think it's just the experience. I think that as they go through that, they learn how to react to certain situations. By the time you're a junior or senior, you know, think about it, not very many things happen that you haven't at least had something you can call upon, mm-hmm. you know, experience wise. So, and it does, it helps, man. I'm telling you, I've done this for 20 plus years, and boy, does it help when young kids get the ability to come up and be led by some juniors and seniors. Whereas if you're on a young team, when you're a freshman or sophomore and you're trying to figure all that leadership and everything out at the same time, mm-hmm. it can be a little overwhelming at times. But I just always think of my assistant coach in basketball in high school saying the best thing about having a freshman on your team this year is he or she'll be a sophomore next year. So, you know, I mean, it's there's a lot of truth to that. So yeah, I don't buy into that we play kids too quick. I mean, if they're ready, they're ready. But I certainly think you have to be careful sometimes in terms of some of the skills and development, you know, in terms of getting that happy medium of skill work as well.
This second question or second email that we received is kind of along the same lines of what you guys have been discussing, but you might have some other thoughts about that. And that is, you know, regarding elite young players in baseball and softball, what factors help them compared to others? And we've kind of touched on maybe some of the things, but there might be others as well you want to talk about.
Well, Derek, I'd be interested to hear this from the bigger school background. I think a common thing I'm seeing across the way, more and more of these young kids are stepping into a league like the SVC and producing because of the level of baseball they've been introduced to mm-hmm. growing up. not just in Little League, but particularly into the summer as they get into, you know, some of their travel ball and so forth. What would you say to that in terms of, I know you don't cover as much summer ball. I know throughout the summer you'd kind of follow it somewhat, but you start to see a lot of these same names show up there, don't you, in terms of throughout the summer playing year round.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on. I mean, and you're talking like in a travel ball sense as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're those again. I mean, I think I said earlier extra reps, but when you take those reps, you're taking them at the highest level. You know, from a big school perspective, honestly, coming from Chillicothe, you can talk to Greg Phillips, their head coach of the softball, Justin Miller, the baseball coach, who actually happens to manage a travel base a summer team out of Lancaster. I actually see less players in a big school in a travel ball sense than I do in the SVC. And maybe that's a weird thing or that's a normal thing. But in Chillicothe, I think you have so much that's going on. And I think it also depends on what type of school it is. I mean, Chillicothe is a basketball heavy school. It's a football heavy school. Whereas they don't really, you know, put a lot of emphasis on the spring sports. I think you could argue the opposite of that with a lot of the SVC schools. You look at a Westfall who has a softball team. And I think I talked to Brad Morris of Circleville, Herald sports editor, and I want to say he said like 7 or 8 of their starting 9 were travel ball players. And then you look at their record and you start to figure things out. But I think any travel softball coach or any high school softball coach, baseball as well, you know, will tell you, you know, the kids that are putting in the work at an elite level in the summer are the kids that we see every name or every day in the paper, online, on the website, you know, whatever that may be. So another interesting part of that, Shane, would be how many high school coaches are involved in summer ball programs, like a Tom Barr, who runs Post 757, like a Fred Redmond. Not sure the affiliation that he runs, but I know he runs a team, and 4 of those Westfall girls are on that summer ball team. So you're not even talking about kids that are playing just travel ball. They're playing travel ball for their high school head coaches, which I think is another factor.
No question. Yeah.
All right, guys, good stuff again. You hit the nail on the head there, I think, on several counts, and we'll let you know in a little bit, listeners, how you can get in touch with these guys and add some more questions to them and maybe some comments as well. Let's head now, Shane, to the 3-Up, 3-Down.
Yeah, going to be brought to the fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. As always, we appreciate so much what they do. They're amazing to our website, to our podcast. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Bruce mentioned the weather going to be great here in the upcoming weeks. Again, that number, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. Tell them SVC Sports Zone sent you, and I'm sure they'll hook you up. But guys, this week on 3-Up, 3-Down, going to move it around a little bit, get a little baseball and softball mixed in. Separate it a little bit and then bring it back together there in the third question, but it should be a lot of fun. So Derek, I'll let you go first. I'll follow up. Bruce, if you're ready, let's go with our Crown Hill Golf Club, 3-Up, 3-Down.
Be it scores, stats, or standings, give the fans some detailed analysis from the baseball page that helps give the fans something to look for in the final weeks of the season.
Jay, for me, this has to be standings, especially on the baseball side. You know, you look at this week's slate of games on Monday and Wednesday, and, you know, and I know our listeners will either listen to this late Monday night or maybe early Tuesday morning, but Uniota Zane Trace there at the top at 11-1 for Uniota, 10-2 for Zane Trace. They play Monday night. Say Zane Trace can beat Uniota and force a tie atop there, and Adina keeps winning. Adina kind of jumps right back into the there's something, you know, catastrophic for those for Uniota and Zane Trace to both lose down the road. They jump back into the title conversation, and of course you've got a Uniota and Zane Trace team that you know, kind of have to win that last game on Wednesday. And Uniota plays Westfall, who knocked off Zane Trace, and Zane Trace plays Paint Valley, who I think you of all people know they're very capable of winning the game. So I don't think there's any question, you know, for those top three teams, for me, I'd be interested in just seeing how they finish out and then kind of carrying momentum into the postseason.
You know, Bruce, for me, obviously the last two nights of league play, as Derek said, is always going to be intriguing, and you follow the standings and you're looking to see who finishes where. But with the tournament draw coming out this afternoon here as we record on Sunday evening, I started looking at how the SBC is doing outside of the conference. And you look, our league is so different than when I first started coaching. I mean, here we are with three Division II teams, two in one bracket that's going to separate with Westfall separate. And then over on the Division III side, we had four, but then Southeastern shipped to the other side. So I started to look outside of conference, and I see, if my math was right, I believe baseball is 47-16 outside of the SBC. So obviously double headers and some different Tuesday, Thursday night are completely different than tournament. It's night and day. You know, tournaments are all about your best lineup, best pitcher against the other team's best. So, you know, a lot of times Saturday double headers and all those things can be a little bit misleading because, you know, you're not playing best of three, best of five. But it does say something about the league and our ability with, now that we've stayed away from each other in most cases, to hopefully have a chance at some success in the postseason.
Now let's do the same for softball. Check out that page and give the fans some details.
You know, Shane, for me, I think if anybody knows me, they know that I'm a big stat nerd. So when I look at the statistics on the softball page, you know, there's a couple things that jump out to me and a couple of maybe numbers where I'm wondering, well, how far can they get? Two of those it goes with Huntington's Kylie Kello in the pitcher circle. She's got a 2.63 ERA. I'm wondering if she can keep that under three, because what a start to a bright, and I'm sure bright future ahead for her. She also has 114 strikeouts. I'm wondering how high that number can go by the end of the year. Then you look at Cammie Alexander, has 102 strikeouts for Piketon. The one, like, their closest competition, that's stats being reported, is Hallie Pinkerton and Josie Fisher. They're at 28-26. So you can see how far they've kind of separated themselves from the rest of the pack. And then I look at batting average. We've got five kids in the SBC who are hitting .489 or better. So I'm interested to see, you know, how many can kind of maybe either go over the 500 limit and stay there, or, you know, kind of come under. So, again, I'm a stat nerd. That's just me. But it just shows to me we've got a lot of talented kids in the SBC.
Oh, there's no question. I think I kind of stay on my same theme here, Bruce. I look, and I think the softball league is a little closer to 500. I don't have that in front of me. I want to say it was 24-23 maybe, which is really – not the norm for our league in softball over the years. But even with that said, I don't know if I'd let that number deceive you, because I think I think it can really be deceiving, because I think we're in a situation where we still have some teams in the draw that are going to win a lot of sectional titles and going to really compete to the the district final, maybe even regional level. So I'll be interested to see if that number doesn't end up coming back and flipping in the favor of the SVC once we get into the postseason.
As we enter the final week of the regular season, what are your thoughts on Player of the Year for baseball and softball?
So this is where we get the hate mail coming. You know, for me, I think it's honestly, Shane, on the baseball side. Now, I haven't, you might be able to clarify this for me since I haven't seen a lot of the second half of the season. But I think it's a no-brainer for me when it's a two-horse race. It's either Chad Eisen at Zane Trace or Harley Patterson at Uniota. And again, you might have to maybe correct me on that. But just from the stats page, from what they're doing on their teams, what they've done, you know, all year and even last year with Harley, then Chad coming on. And then at the top of the standings, I mean, one of those two teams is either going to win the league outright, most likely, or, you know, they're going to tie and they're both going to win. So I think on the baseball side, that's kind of cut and dry. And then on the softball side, you know, I think you've got a little bit of competition here. You have to look at a Samantha Tackett at Westfall. You have to look at Kylie Kello at Huntington. A Cammie Alexander's kind of, you know, her name's in there. And Shane, I would even put Abby Stark in that conversation. I mean, she's been phenomenal for, I know you're high on Adina, and I'm telling you, she's a big reason why they've had sort of a turnaround and a good bit of success this year. So if we're just talking names, I think you have to talk all four of those on the softball side, whereas baseball, to me, it's kind of a two-horse race with Chad and Harley.
Well, I certainly understand, from the numbers standpoint, why you say that. And obviously, the Patterson kid's terrific with what he does with his arm. And he's really having quite a year with the bat as well. I can't say enough about the versatility that Uten has given Unio to, with them now taking the one-game advantage. Obviously, as you said, by the time people listen to this, we'll kind of know more about what happened in the Unio to Zane Trace game. But I think what jumps out at me is, and you're right about Ison. I highlighted that in some of our Athlete of the Week stuff, the year he's having. It's really a situation where pitching really starts to jump to the forefront here. And notice the three names I just said there all have some pitching numbers to go along with those and great offensive numbers as well. It's so hard for a position player to jump in this discussion, even in the top four or five. It's something I harp on every year. I hate it, but it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, with Zane Trace and Unio at the top. Now on the other side, Westfall is so balanced as well. You can't help but ask yourself, does it open up at least a discussion for a Kello or an Alexander or some people like that? I think at the end of the day, it'll probably be a Westfall girl, especially if they run the table and win the gold ball. But I think that opens up the big discussion because, again, with the pitching, I know Westfall spreads some of the wealth around in their pitching. Robinson's been doing most of it, but you'll see a lot of different names. So by the time you put together a resume for Kello with the pitching and then the nice offensive year and then Alexander with a solid pitching year and a phenomenal offensive year, I think to the point the last couple weeks people just stopped pitching to her. I think both races will be really good. As always, when you see the top 6-7, we may disagree on the order, but you're going to see on both sides, baseball, softball, the top 6 or 7 really, really good players.
And there is our 3 Up, 3 Down brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport, 740-986-4653. Get up there and take advantage of what looks to be at least a good week of weather coming up. Let them know that SVC Sports Talk was talking about them, and we sent you. I mentioned earlier, you need to have the information about how to contact these two young gentlemen and, either agree or disagree or provide that hate mail that Derek is so looking forward to later on this week. But you can do so first for Shane. His email address, admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can also find him on two different profiles on Facebook. He is also on Twitter, and his handle there is @svcsportzone.com. Derek, his email address has changed, obviously, with his change in locale, but it's derekw1509@gmail.com. And, of course, on Twitter, he has that very coveted verified account, his handle there, @DW1509. And, of course, we ask that you consider subscribing to our podcast through iTunes and give us a favorable rating there, or you can find us on Stitcher as well. Guys, we're going to move to the post-game comments. This is brought to you by, again, C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Printing and Embroidery at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. The phone number there, 740-774-3306. Look them up on Facebook for all kinds of information about what they can do for you. Well, in the upcoming week, guys, what major games are you looking at in the SEC? I think you've kind of already hit upon this. At least you have there, Derek, but I'm sure there's others as well you're looking forward to.
Sure. I mean, we've already talked about, the Zane Tracy Uniota baseball matchup. I'm also looking forward to the Uniota Westfall matchup there as well on the baseball side Wednesday, because again, Westfall is kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team where they did upset Zane Trace earlier this year. They have that ability to really knock off anybody. And you could say that, you know, 1 through 8 in the league, but Westfall's been there. They've done it this year, so they could really throw a wrench into Unyoda's plans if they somehow beat Zane Trace on Monday and kind of get a bit of revenge from their first meeting. On the softball side, I think you got to look at that Piketon Huntington and Unyoda Westfall matchups on Wednesday there too. So Pike, and you got, I mentioned Alexander and Kello, those two going head to head, that's money in the bank. So
yeah, Bruce, he's exactly right with those particular games. I can't help but peek ahead just a little bit too, and I know we'll talk about that maybe in our final thing here, but watching all of these games, how you have to be careful, Derek, now that you know who you play. I've noticed a couple teams that could run into each other. Like, for example, Unyoda and Westfall could possibly play down at OU in a district matchup as well. And a lot of times, I think it's also interesting on Monday night, just watching Uniota's pitch count and some of the things they've done this week. I wonder if he's going to kind of go with Blevins in that particular game. We talked about, late in the year, sore arms, different things. With him coming in a little bit late, he just seemed really fresh to me and throwing the ball real, real well. He's been lights out the 2 or 3 times he's taken the mound. So that's interesting. Obviously, it's a little bit of an advantage. At least Zane Trace, it's not like a kid coming from outside of our league. It's a kid they've seen, they're familiar with. But you also wonder how that could influence pitching into the tournament. But I can't help but start to peek ahead a little bit there, Bruce, beyond just those games, which I know you're going to kind of ask us about here in the final thing on the agenda this evening.
Yeah, well, this is such a prep week for so many baseball, softball, and track teams. And so I feed right into what you were saying there, Shane. What are some of these keys?
Well, I think Derek touched on it first. When you talk about SVC championships, there's still things to be decided on Monday, Wednesday. So you're still locked into that regular season. On the one side, you have a gold ball being chased and you have a lot of different things being chased. But at the same time, people are going to start to line up depending on when you play. They're going to start to line up. And when you look at the baseball brackets, I love Zane Trace's draw. There's the top seed. They stay away from courthouse until the district, I think it's final. And with Unyoda Westfall having a chance to play on out, wouldn't surprise me at all to get one, maybe even two D2 teams to the regional. Wouldn't that be a lot of fun to see that matchup in the regional semi, Derek? Mm-hmm. That would be fun. And then over on the D3, I thought Huntington was probably treated the worst of the teams. I think when you look at some of their games at 9 and 8, again, they're a team that was hurt a little bit. They picked up 2 more D2 wins on Saturday that don't even count. So I thought in baseball, I thought Coach Yates's bunch there was probably the one that slipped the most, going all the way down to the 8. But overall, it looks like to me that on the baseball side, we stayed away from each other. Like, I know in our bracket, goodness, I have the utmost respect for the West program as well as Portsmouth down there. That's in our bracket. Coach Rapp there at Portsmouth West does a phenomenal job. They have great, great tradition. So there's no easy road to the district. When you start, the SVC is hard enough. When you start throwing not just the Southern Hills Athletic Conference, but especially the SOC into the mix and all these teams, boy, does it get that much more difficult when you start throwing the likes of a Memphis, and then over on the other side with a Wheelersburg and so forth. So the Southeastern down there as well, I don't want to shut them out. They're over on the other side. They'll play a good solid Megs team, and then I know South Point's having a great year. Piketon and Adina could meet there in the final as well. I guess that would be the only SVC matchup I see, Derek, in the early going. So, yeah, it's a fun week because, you kind of know now where you're at, and you can start to really look at, you're trying to make that last tweak to your lineup. You're trying to fix those last couple things that maybe you're still not doing well that could cost you in 1 or 2 run games. and you get going. And the difference on the baseball side, as I always say, guys, is you have to set up that pitching staff, and then you start to worry about, you know, if you're playing a certain team or you think a certain team might scout you, you might tweak your pitching staff just a little bit to, one, rest that arm a little bit more, stretch the rest out, but two, maybe not wanting to give those kids or coaching staff a chance to see your particular number one arm. So all of those strategic things will come into play this week. So not just the games that Derek's talking about, some of those little prep things for tournament that jump out as well. So Derek, when you think of the articles, the last thing I'll ask you before we get out of here this week, when you think of the articles that you've written this time of year, when you really any sport as a team comes up on the postseason, what are some of the things that jump out at you that you'll hear kids or coaches say about this final regular season week?
Well, I mean, I think just talking to coaches, you know, during this time of year, I've heard a lot of, you know, we have to keep momentum. We have to keep focus. As we both know, there's just so much in a team getting hot in any sport. In baseball, softball, if you're hot, you know, and I can remember that's back in my day playing. I'm getting old, Shane, so that's been there forever.
Right.
You know, if you get hot at the right time, anybody can go on a lengthy tournament run. So I think that has always been a topic of discussion. Honestly, I will always ask that question around this time of year. Hey, how do you plan to you know, continue this momentum? You're on a 4-game winning streak, but you know that doesn't win you a section or a district title. So I think you have that. I think you have a lot of coaches talking about making sure their players are healthy and they're not going to be doing you know, overworked, especially when it comes on the pitcher's mound. And I think it's just honestly, I mean, a lot of our area coaches talk about having fun. I mean, it's baseball, it's softball. I mean, to me, they're the two greatest sports in the world. So just go out there, have fun, and keep focus. And you know, I think if they can do those things, you know, maybe a lengthy tournament run, you know, is in their cards.
You know, Bruce, that is true. Maybe the most difficult thing to do in the final week is balance how hard you want to push your kids with keeping them fresh. Mm-hmm. You know, you want the arms and the legs. You want the highest energy level possible and so forth this time of year. But at the same time, you want to be sharp. You want to clean things up. Derek uses the word momentum. You do want to be able to, you know, play as much as you can. But the other thing, guys, don't underestimate in baseball, softball, because you play every night, is for some of the teams, especially the ones that have the bye, you finally get to have some practices. Hmm. You know, a lot of times you run into situations during the year that you want to get better at, and you may go 2 weeks and only have like one or two practices. So now is an opportunity where not only do you want to try to play, I know like at Paint Valley, we have 3 games scheduled this week, which would take us to 25. So we have 2 more that we can add. If we're going to be off all the way to that following Saturday, I mean, I would certainly hope that we're able to do that. And, you know, a lot of people are in that situation. So I think that's on the 12th. So, yeah, I mean, you'd certainly want to try to play a little bit more. But at the same time, it is exciting to actually sit back and not be afraid to have a 2.5-3 hour practice where a lot of times if you're in the middle of a 4 or 5 game week, you feel like you're going to kill the kids' arms and their legs and so forth. So those are some of the things in that prep question that you're asking there, Bruce, that I think would be really interesting. So now before I get out of here, Bruce, you were talking off the air beforehand. Are we looking at one more show and then our special show at the end? Is that kind of what's going to wrap us up here?
I think that will do it pretty much. We've actually, this year, we try to get at least 30 shows in. Right. And I think actually this is our 30th show, if I'm doing my math correctly and so forth.
Okay.
But yeah, we'd finish up next week with the regular kind of show. And then, of course, everybody is probably waiting with bated breath out there to find out who wins the coveted Sport Zony Awards.
Yes.
Because we still
yes.
haven't come up with any better name for whatever it is we're giving. And I'm sure you've got the sponsors in line for the red carpet
well,
treatment.
If the name's already genius, I don't know why you'd change it.
Don't mess with things at work, huh? Well, that would be great if somebody would give us a good name, but I think we came up with that maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and we haven't, like you said, why mess with genius, I guess.
Well, guys, I look forward to it. I appreciate it. I think, yeah, Derek, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I can promise you this from the spring side of things. People in the spring sports really, really appreciate SVC Sports Talk, probably more so than our fall and winter people. And that's not to say those people don't, but I think the spring sports really do, from the standpoint of they realize there's just not a lot out there that talks about spring topics and spring teams and spring kids. And we'll also make sure we take care of some of our track coming up here, because we have the SVC and some of their postseason stuff coming right around the corner. So that'll be back on the show as well. So, well, guys, I appreciate it. Look forward to a great ending to spring here in the next couple of weeks with you. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes in at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.